Good morning, church. I'm so excited to be here this morning with you all. Several of the staff, Pastor Jen and John and Isaac and Laura and Jay are all in New Orleans having a great time. Pastor Jim preached at the Christian Community Development Association last year. You remember it was here in the cities, and then this time it was away, so he went down. And so I am here with you to preach, and that leaves us with 1 Timothy, the lectionary text. I've been eager to preach, and then I read the lectionary text, and they were all about, like, serious confession. I'm like, oh, darn. It's like wanting some nice, easy text, and I was like, oh, shoot, why can't I just get some, like, Psalm 23, oh, the Lord is good to you, and then done. Woohoo! I'm grateful to be here this morning with you. And thank you, Stephen, for reading. Today we're in 1 Timothy. It's a letter that was written as exhortation and instruction to the church, to a young leader who is learning how to minister and to love, and the instructions are very clear. It's not a shy book. Of course, most books written by Paul are not shy. Now, it's true. I'm going to give a little caveat. I'm going to say Paul. This is in the school of Paul. Some people contend that it wasn't actually who Paul that wrote it. For me, that's not actually a big deal in how I choose to interpret Scripture. You can talk to me afterwards if you disagree with me. But I'm just going to keep saying Paul because it's still in the school, so it still kind of makes sense. And it's just really, I don't want to say the author, because that sounds like I'm in seminary, and it's just really annoying. It's his character. It's still his heart. His the people he ministered with. It's still within, as far as I read and understand. We are going to go through this passage, and I want to spend some time kind of exploring this confession that he makes, because he says that he is ignorant in unbelief. Now that. Some people reading this text kind of think that Paul cops out in this confession just a little bit. Because it's not like he says something like, I was totally, morally, completely wrong. However, I think that this confession, ignorant in unbelief, is not a cop out. And that's where I'm kind of going to go. I think that there's many different types of ignorance, and I want to make sure we're understanding the right kind of ignorance here. There's like ignorance, like you just didn't know, you know, just genuinely, just like facts. Like, I was ignorant that, like, for example, I was ignorant that, like, if my tires aren't inflated on the car, then it will eventually damage the tires and hurt my gas mileage. Okay, that's like a fact, and you don't know it. But say it's like, I kind of heard that once, but I chose to ignore it, and therefore I'm ignorant of it because I don't like getting dirty to check my tires. That's willful ignorance. That's different than just like genuinely like you just didn't know. And I think that this idea is what Paul is playing on. And I think sometimes when we hear ignorance simply as fact and not as some kind of like willfulness of our heart where you kind of pretend to know but you don't actually know, I think that when we do that, we're kind of ignoring like the Old Testament influence and voice in the New Testament. If you're just purely thinking in a Greek type of way, ignorance is purely knowledge and you're just thinking very rationally. But I think we sometimes miss how much the Old Testament concepts of like foolishness and willfulness and the depth of psychology that's in like this more ancient culture influences these writers, because almost all of the writers of the New Testament were deeply influenced by Old Testament concepts. And there's a long history of biblical interpretation where we pretend that there aren't Hebrew influences in the New Testament when there are. So because of that, I'm going to really focus on this idea that ignorance isn't as peaceful and like innocent maybe as some people would like to interpret this text. Because if this text reads, but I received mercy because I just actually didn't know. in an innocent way, but that's not what the text says. Because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. as in, I could have believed in my heart, but I chose not to, and because of that, I didn't actually know. This is a much more humiliating confession, and I think that it goes against maybe our bit of self-preservation where we want to feel like we know everything, or we want to be kind of, you know, omnipotent in things. And like, if you just admit pure, straight up Old Testament foolishness, that's more humiliating. Like, I was a fool. And then a lot of us are good at admitting fool. Like, yeah, I was a fool when I was 20 and I did this, but I was a fool when I invested 20 years of my heart and soul after studying all of this, and I still was completely ignorant because I didn't, after all of those years, I actually didn't want to know the truth type of fool. That's a whole lot harder than, oh, I just didn't know. And I think that this is the kind of confession that we're dealing with Paul. Even after studying, Paul says, I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, a man of violence. Now, as a side note, you know, I attended seminary and all of that, and they teach, like, the seminary that is all about, like, inclusive language. And I never understood why people want to change the Bible to inclusive language so much, because I am all for this remaining man of violence. Because I don't want to be implicated in that. So thank goodness. Okay, fine. I could confess blasphemer, persecutor, but phew. Thank goodness only half of us have to confess that they're violent. That's just as a side note, a grateful note. But all right, so that's maybe not what it's saying. But this is quite a serious confession for Paul, because Paul, it's not like Paul wasn't educated. Paul was seriously educated. It's not like Paul didn't have, like, credentials. He had serious credentials. And it's not like Paul was kind of a casual persecutor of the church secretly in his heart, but didn't ever say anything. Like, he actively went out and persecuted the church. And it was actively his choice. And he actively put all of his energy and life and all of his charismatic gifts and all of that into that. And so, I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a man of violence, but I received mercy because, man, I was such a fool and I was unbelieving. And I wanted to be unbelieving, but that the grace of the Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Well, it may offend Paul's personal need and desire to be omnipotent and powerful, but that's the thing, is that Paul, he's more interested in claiming the mercy and the grace than having to go through the humiliation of just admitting how absolutely wrong he was after spending all of the capital of his time and energy and all of that into something that was completely wrong. The mercy, the direction that he's heading is so good that humiliation isn't actually that big of a deal to him. But the truth is, maybe not everyone has experienced the level of foolishness that Paul has, and Paul fully admits that. And it's funny, other times in the New Testament, you know, Paul or the school, like, it has no problem kind of pointing out how foolish other people are. But here, it genuinely, he's like, look, I have done this more than anyone else. And that's a serious claim. I appreciate that. Maybe he has had to endure the pain of his own ignorance and his own foolishness more than the average person. And so maybe that sets him up for this deep gratitude and love that we experience in this text. His gratitude is a greater point than his humiliation. Paul is grateful for this second chance to know and love God. This is the mercy that's in the text. The mercy was received as a gift. It was not really something that he earned because of his own strength, his own gifts, his own power, but it is the Lord's strength. And he says that very clearly in verse 12. I am grateful to Christ our Lord, who has strengthened me because he judged me faithful and appointed to his service, even though I was formerly a blasphemer, you know, all those things. It's not like there's a shred of him that, even though he might be extremely gifted in all of these areas, it's not like there's a shred of him saying, like, well, the Lord strengthened the gifts that were within me, but it was because he could go through the humiliation of admitting his completely just old, straight-up ignorance that he can be so grateful in this manner, you know? And it sometimes that, you know, like, it's very Christian language. We use language like this all the time, but it's not like Paul had that language, you know, like, the language that we receive as Christians that we seek to emulate and practice and like believe in our hearts and understand that it is God's strength and not our strength. You know, like this is something that Paul came to and wrote because he was so grateful in his heart. And that is why Paul's confidence and can come, he can speak with such precision and clarity. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. This acted ignorantly in unbelief. The sinners, that's the thing. He came in to save us sinners who were acting ignorantly in unbelief. And the saying is so sure and it is so worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came to do this. The confidence that is there and is so beautiful and is so clarifying and it is so formative for us as Christians in our Christian existence is because of this gratitude that simply overflows. He is so sure, in fact, that his willful ignorance was so offensive that the good spirit had to show more patience with him compared to everybody else, and that he's so certain that he received more patience from the Lord and the Lord's mercy that he's certain of this. If anybody else actually saw, really heard what I'm saying and saw how much more patience I received from the Holy Spirit compared to everyone else is going to be so convinced that the Lord is so good and has so much patience. Because holy cow, if the Lord can have patience on a blasphemer and a persecutor and a man of violence like myself, then the Lord can have patience on anybody, and it would be really clear that this is the case. Paul is so certain that this is true, that his example then can paint this way and bring this way. And then he leads into a very natural and beautiful praise. It's, you know, we use doxologies a lot. This doxology at the end, doxology to the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, to honor and glory be forever and ever. Amen. You know, it's very natural. It's not forced, but simple doxology to God's goodness because his gratitude is so full that his foolishness was accepted, and but yet he was given a second chance. Praise the Lord that Paul was able to embrace this pain of humiliation and being ignorant and wrong. And you know, like I always struggle with these types of passages because, you know, like I think one thing I've really failed to understand. I always avoid preaching from the epistles, the letters, because they're so direct, and I love stories. You know, you all know I'm like a storyteller, and then it's like, oh no, it's like there's no story here. What am I supposed to say? But I think this was a good week because I understood something about Paul and this way that I failed to understand in the past, and like, you know, like it's so easy to want to have Paul's confidence. For me, most definitely, you think, oh, Paul was just born that way to be able to say something so directly. Paul just has these really natural gifts, or people just automatically listen to Paul because he must have, I don't know, had something that made people just want to listen to him, or he was just born really articulate and really intelligent, or like it was his family pedigree or something to that respect. This must have been what Paul had that others really listened to, that allowed him to be the kind of leader. Because how much would I love to be this kind of leader that Paul is? Whew, but, you know, like, we don't all have those gifts, and that's fine. That's the Lord. But I think one thing I really failed to understand is that his gifts aren't because, like, he's relying on them so deeply, right? I mean, it's not like he is saying, because the Lord strengthened the gifts that I already had. He is saying, like, I was such a failure. I was such a fool. I was such a willfully ignorant fool. But the Lord strengthened me that he didn't need to rely on the gifts that he had. He didn't need to rely on the things that he had. Yet he could rely solely on the good grace of our Lord. And so he didn't have anything to hide. He didn't have anything that he needed to feel humiliation from. And it is on that, on his trust, that this outcome of like the confidence that we see in this text, and then the very bold instructions that we get later in 1 Timothy, where he's just like, look, this is how you're to lead the church, and there's no shyness about it whatsoever, or self-consciousness about it whatsoever. He didn't need the invitation from other human beings, because he knew that the Lord had in fact given him the invitation. And for me, that's a challenge. Like I hear that and I'm like, it's a whole lot easier to want to rely on those things that you think would give you strength, but yet you can't, because the only thing we have to rely on is the Lord. But I can relate anyway to parts of the story, even maybe if I can't relate to all the natural brilliant gifts that Paul had. I can relate to the foolishness that Paul experienced. Like Paul says, like I was, you know, another passage, like I was born on this day and like I, you know, like circumcised on the eighth day, and like he gives all his credentials about why he has all these good credentials, but yet it is the Lord. Like I feel like I could claim similar credentials. Like I was raised in the church. Like I had a dream as a child to do ministry. I felt like it gave me the permission, in fact, like because of dreams at night, it gave me authority. I read and studied the Bible at a very early age, and I knew scripture. I was really annoying to my Sunday school teachers, in fact, because I knew the Bible back and forward. I served the church since I was a child. I wanted to do great things for the kingdom, and I was told that I would do great things for the kingdom. In college, I prayed and I fasted. I studied intently. I was that Christian that you think, oh, because they're fasting, because they're praying, this person surely has earned their right to speak. But the truth is, I was lost. Like, I had this nagging feeling the whole time that there was something that I was ignorant of, and I didn't know what it was, but I was too terrified to stop. I could summarize that Deuteronomy, I could list the judges, I could give the history, but I couldn't believe the mercy that was there, and the fear that God ultimately disapproved of me. I was ignorant that my faith was only cultural and racially based. I went abroad thinking and believing this wholeheartedly, this lie that I was somebody because of my background, because I came from a family with money, because I came from the West that had a longer history of Christianity. I don't exactly know how I believed that, but I did. I thought that I had something to say. I thought that I had something to bring. And I was ignorant, but it was a willful ignorance. It's a willful ignorance if everyone else around you kind of sense this person is intentionally missing something, but they're too ashamed of themselves. I was ignorant where the money came from and how the myth of civilization was invented out of a Western desire to exploit and control. These are things we can choose to be willfully ignorant of and ignore. That's not just knowing facts. I was willfully ignorant that race was a construct to put the white conscience at ease as we perpetuate slavery, colonial exploitation, apartheid, mass incarceration, generational policy, poverty, exploitative educational practice. I mean, so many lists. Like, willful ignorance can put so many things into perspective and happen so easily, right? Just because you don't want to know. And then I think, like, how could I have kind of known but pretended not to know all of that time? And then taught others. How many churches did I work at? 5, actually. How many of God's children had I taught where my only emotional aim was self-justification for myself, which is self-justification, a paycheck that I felt like I had earned, and a sense of self-importance, like I had a place in the society and that I was important because I was perpetuating some type of civilization. I was ignorant. That's ignorance. It's foolishness, willful ignorance, but it's unbelieving ignorance because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. I had read the Bible many times, but my view of the world was so narrow and small, highly educated, but ignorant of humanity. That's the thing. We can be willfully ignorant of our very humanity. We are designed to be to know, to be impacted, and be touched by other people. This is one of God's greatest gifts for us, but yet we can choose to be ignorant of this gift that we have. It's amazing how we human beings can be living in a society, but caught up so fully in our own minds because we are willfully ignorant of these things. We can live only perceiving others as a threat and not understanding the gift that we have in relationships and each other, this gift of God's that God gives to us. It messes with your mind. Your vision narrows. Your joy diminishes, not out of choosing against it, but because the options emotionally just come smaller. Your perspective becomes petty. You create wars and you fight them with things that aren't even there. I thought I was ignorant. I thought we were condemned to this type of mental isolationism. It is horrifying, and you eventually can just kind of lose your grip on what is real. And I thought this terrifying isolationism was a necessary part of human existence, and I didn't know that salvation in Jesus Christ makes a way for humans to have joy and to bless each other, that being kind to each other actually deepens the joy of life, that human touch and relationship can be a model for God's gentleness, that there's a way to break through these things. These things I didn't know, and I wish I had, but then at the time, I was too afraid, and I didn't want to. I dare say that there is an easy answer to all of the like solipsistic gymnastics that we can play in our minds, and accepting limitations, all of that is important. However, and hope isn't like a euphoric, simple thing, but it's true that God's grace brings light into the darkness, any darkness, and opens a way for human relating when one feels isolated. Opens a way because it is God's strength that leads us and not our own. The grace of our Lord can overflow into broken places and lead into life abundantly. And in that way, the saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance that Christ came into the world to save sinners, even extremely willfully ignorant sinners, very stubbornly, willfully ignorant, unbelieving sinners. Christ came to save people like me, like Paul, and like all of us. I don't know how, it's far away. I feel like even though I've known the Bible and come from like Christianity, whatever that means, I can't imagine having been farther away from understanding the most basic things of the gospel. It's like living in a valley with plenty of food, but being afraid to eat, or living in a valley with like a mountain with a beautiful view, but not even knowing like you have eyes to open. And like just living in fear when actually you're in the middle of some place that's so stunning, but you're too afraid to actually find out. Praise the Lord that there is an opportunity out of ignorance, and it is because of the Lord's strength, and it is because of the Lord's mercy for this way to come. I've struggled through many years of distrust. This congregation has witnessed and walked through and cared for me very deeply. I've been a child here, and I hope one day I can say thank you appropriately. But I hope that the mercy that I have received, am receiving, can be an encouragement, because I feel like there's like if I feel like perhaps others can see, like, wow, if somebody that far, that ignorant, that racist can understand then the grace of God, then maybe I can too. I hope every day that that is the case, that humiliation is actually not that scary and very life-giving. It's a very, very life-giving way. It's and sometimes it's the only way to Jesus. And for that, I'm really grateful. I don't get to preach very often here, so I'm grateful to be able to share this message. And I also want to be able to say, because I don't get to preach very often, that I am really, really grateful to serve here at this church. I couldn't imagine a better life than to be able to share my life with others. And I know what it's like not to be able to know how to do that. I know what it's like when you feel like you're completely isolated from other human beings. And so I am so grateful for the chance to be able to serve here and experience that on a regular basis. I couldn't imagine like a more incredible life than the life I get to live. And so I'm really grateful to be able to serve this congregation for the season that I'm here. And I'm grateful to know and that I have the opportunity to impact others and to maybe demonstrate some of these things in a very humble way that Paul is talking about. This is the grace of God in my life. It is something that I will always be very grateful for. So that's Paul, and that's 1 Timothy, and I pray that this may be an encouragement to us as we continue to struggle and to live the Christian faith, trusting that it is indeed the Lord that has strengthened us. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Good Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your constant patience with us. You are a good God, and we praise your name. We bring glory to you, O Heavenly Father. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen.